Welcome again to Prefer Not To, a weekly sometime cocktail hour, half hour maybe, with your hosts, Josh, that's me, and Kate.
Hello.
Wherein we make ourselves a cocktail and then move on to other topics that have interested us during the course of the week. Sometimes including things that might have bothered us or things we just wanted to talk to complete strangers on the internet about. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Kate. I believe our cocktail this week is the Gimlet. And then once we are well and truly gimleted, we will move on to other topics. So Kate, gimlet us.
So the Gimlet is a cocktail comprised of gin and lime juice. The variations on the proportions differ. We are going to be having 2-to-1 gimlets using gin and Rose's lime juice.
That's a ratio of 2 parts gin and 1 part Rose's.
Yeah. Although, like I said, the recipe itself is contested. And
by what? Like the World Court in The Hague?
And it's like the same thing with a martini. How much vermouth to how much, you know, booze. It's just one of those things. Traditionally, it's half and half, but...
Yeah, you know, people are very particular about this kind of thing.
They are.
And it's, yeah, it's like barbecue, where I guess we're going to talk about that later, but people are really choosy about things that ultimately are utterly inconsequential, including the contents of their cocktail of choice, what constitutes barbecue, and, like,
well,
sports.
Well, the Gimlet has a long and storied history. Apparently, the Gimlet was invented, so to speak, by a British naval officer whose last name was, wait for it, Gimlet, as a way to get his sailors to drink lime juice.
Is this one of those made-up stories, or is this for real?
I have no idea. I'm just telling you, that's what history says, that's what legend says, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So it's to get sailors to drink their lime juice?
Yeah.
So it's like the gin and tonic and quinine.
What?
That's why the gin and tonic exists, or supposedly.
They had quinine and what?
Tonic water has quinine in it, okay, which prevents malaria.
Okay. All right.
And the theory was, at least that's the, maybe urban legend. So, again, you know, internet, don't call me dumb, because we already know that.
Anyway, apparently the word gimlet itself originates, as you may know, or as you may not, it is a tool for drilling small holes.
I thought it was the guy's name.
So the word gimlet was used in the sense that I just described to you in 1928, because it's from the tool for drilling small holes.
It's like a jeweler's tool, right?
Yeah, whose name is also figuratively used to describe something as sharp or piercing.
Right, the gimlet eye is the phrase that people use.
I've never heard that before.
You never heard that? Like, he's got a sharp eye. It's the jeweler's eye.
Well, the point is that the drink is sharp, tart, and apparently will penetrate you.
So we have two alternate explanations for the name. Either the guy's name was Gimlet, or the drink is sharp and penetrating, like unto a gimlet.
So how is it?
It is quite tasty. It is like a classy adult gin and juice.
All right. Here we go. That is it's quite tart.
It is tart. It's like a Smarties.
God, what does this remind me of?
Which, again, by the way, again, if you're a cocktail lover, do not take offense that I compared your beloved beverage to something that people eat at the movie theater when they're going to see Problem Child.
This does not taste like gin and juice to me. This tastes like something else. I can't... Honestly, it just tastes like...
It's very limey. Okay, so we've got... So there's like 11 teen cats in this house. I don't... You know, you never see them all at once. So as far as I know, they're like gremlins and they're going and... They get wet in another room, and then there's 10 more of them. And also, one of them puts on lipstick and tries to seduce Bob Picardo. But of late, they have become, would you say, more brazen in their emesis?
Are we really going to talk about this?
Okay, probably not. My point is, if you have a cat, buying a carpet in any color other than the color of cat vomit is just the height of folly.
I really recommend area rugs and or Berber carpet.
I guess the cats, they evolved in North Africa, so Berbers wouldn't...
No, Berber carpet, like the pattern. Because it's so speckled and you can hide anything on a Berber carpet.
Okay, to me, Berber carpet says it's like what's under the foosball table in the rumpus.
See, most frat houses that I've been to are... either concrete or
right.
Wood.
Well, they got the concrete so that they can just, they have the drain in the center so they can just hose everything down and then, you know, all of the vomit and evidence is gone. What do you think is the line between? Because, you know, we are clearly over the line in terms of
I've always heard that it's a 2-to-1 ratio. For every two people, you're allowed one cat.
That seems reasonable.
Right? So
we are just way, way over ratio at this point.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, especially...
Because we got the old one that has to go live in her own place. So we've got... Functionally, we have a third of the apartment.
No, I was just thinking, you know, it's like if you're a guy and you have a cat, he's just your cat and you're a guy with a cat.
I'm smelling cat thing right now.
Can we edit this out?
It's possible. But do you smell? There's like a cat is doing something.
No.
Do you think that's some sort of Munchausen by cat funk? That, like, we talk about cat and then that's not Munchausen. That's like some sort of...
Can we please edit this out? I don't want people to think that we live in, like, a giant...
In utter squalor. Right.
Giant litter box.
Right. Right. Like, ever since the folks from Hoarders came, it's been much better.
I've been in aftercare. Cat smeared on the wall.
And, you know, I'm dealing with my abandonment issues, and I no longer have that stack of National Geographics.
You know, if you have one cat, you're a guy with a cat. And if you have two cats, the cats are buddies. But then if you get another cat, you become that guy who has the cats.
Right, like you have a herd of cats. So I've read also that, back to the drink, there's some, like, some people put soda in their gimlets, right?
Mm-hmm. But I think it's one of those divides, like, do you do this, do you not do this, that, you know, creates...
These are like those
camps.
Those people who put vodka in their martinis.
Exactly. And apparently you can also put vodka in a gimlet. So if you order a gimlet at the bar, most bartenders will put vodka in it. So you have
really?
Yeah. So you have to specify, I want a vodka gimlet or a gin.
Why would they do that instead? By the way, that is the sound of the soda opening. Okay. Oh, what did you... Did you drive over a dirt road or something?
Yes. He's referring to the club soda that I bought and is
really agitated.
In my defense, I'm still getting used to a new car. I've had a new car for about
a lovely little car,
but it's also doesn't have the shock control that I was used to on my old car. So that might be why everything is fizzy.
I'm adding some soda here just to see what it's like. Again, internet, don't just hold your horses. We know
I'm sticking with the original gimlet, and we're gonna see how sauced I get, how fast. So.
You know, the weird thing is that I almost never order cocktails when I'm out.
Oh, you mean like a dinner or something?
I'll get a well drink occasionally, like a vodka tonic or something.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I mean, I never go out anyway because I'm a weird hermit. But so tell me this, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
What's the club like?
The club? Mm. There's this like, weird line. Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what it's like. I'm old and weird and fat and a loser.
A lot of places are restaurants. And then at a certain time of night, they become clubs and or bars.
That's how state law works.
No, but there's a difference between just being a bar and being a restaurant that turns into a bar.
There are no bars in North Carolina.
What?
There's no bars in North Carolina. There's, at least given my understanding of the law, is that there's restaurants, which means you have to do a certain percentage of your business in food, and then you can serve drinks. Or there's private clubs, in which you at least have a nominal membership that you have to charge and have guests.
I'm rolling my eyes so hard. Private club. Okay, all right. You get to a place. Okay, there are certain bars where they're restaurants, and then they, you know, open up and have like a dance floor, and like, you know, they lower a disco ball or something, and all of a sudden it's ladies' night. Mm-hmm. And then
what a night.
And then you have places that are strictly about going there. You order a cocktail.
Happy hour is illegal in North Carolina, not ladies' night.
You strictly go there and you order a cocktail or a beer or whatever. You sit with your friends in a booth and then you move on. Maybe they have trivia.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a weird kind of mix.
I think those are restaurants. I think those are technically restaurants. But you're evading the question. You're one of the pretty people.
I was trying to get there if you would stop interrupting me. My point being that I've only been to one club, if you want to call it just a place where people go to dance and it's dark and there's alcohol. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it was kind of annoying. It was loud. I think I had spilled toothpaste on my jeans, but it had covered up.
Someone at the door who said, like, you're pretty enough to get in?
No, that's never happened to me. Mm-hmm. Unless you count a frat house in which all girls are allowed in always.
Yeah. They aren't let out, but...
I was.
You're a lucky lady.
Are we allowed to swear on this?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't.
When it comes to frat houses, all you have to do is show up and, like, have a pair of tits, and then you can go in.
Yeah.
I feel like there's this whole sphere of human existence that is locked off to me. Excuse me. That is locked off to me because I'm old and weird and homely. So I need you, be my Beatrice. Guide me through the world of the young and lovely.
Well, my point being that I've never really been to a club where
Why
there's...
Why the hell not? You're only getting older.
Because we live in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd do it.
Yeah. Spoilers, we live in North Carolina. So my answer to you is I have been to restaurants that turn into bars, excuse me, private clubs, if we're going to quibble over that, with dancing. And what did you want to know? What is it like?
What's it like? Here's my picture, okay? This is in my head when I talk about the club. Okay, it's a...
Duh club.
Right. In my head, it's like a bunch of pretty people and Halston and Liza, and they're all doing cocaine, consequence-free, and telling stories about how I am fat.
My experience...
Did you see that little fat man? Like David Bowie on that episode of Extras.
I don't think that is... Okay.
Like there, except I'm not there. I'm the Ricky Gervais, but I'm not there, and they're just sitting there making fun of me.
I mean, I think the only thing that I've experienced has just been, oh my god, what is she wearing? In terms of, you know, shaming and talking about people.
Is there like a window, though, where you can like look at all of the disgusting normal people and mock them?
No. You go in, there's a bar, you order a drink if you want, or you don't. There's usually a dance floor, they're playing music, and sometimes you're sitting down with your friends and talking. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're outside smoking a cigarette, and then you hear your song comes on, and you're like, hold on, I gotta go do this thing. And
I miss smoking so much.
Yeah.
God, I miss smoking.
And
kids
when it comes...
Seriously, kids, seriously, here's the deal. Kids, don't smoke, all right? It's gonna kill you, all right? It is cool, I'm not gonna lie to you. Smoking is very, very cool. But, you know, motorcycles are cool, and they're going to kill you, too. By the way, don't ride a motorcycle. So, no motorcycles, and for God's sake, do not smoke and ride a motorcycle at the same time. First of all, because you're not going to get your money's worth out of the cigarette, because the oxygen, it's just going to... But they're both dangerous, and they're both going to kill you. I don't even know how we got it. I miss smoking, is the point I'm saying.
Yeah, it's an enjoyable pastime.
Smoking with black coffee...
I've never had that experience.
Two beers. Like you just had your two beers and you're just getting that buzz on and you have that cigarette.
Okay.
Like,
I have experienced that.
Oh, that is wonderful.
It is nice.
Mm. I started smoking because of a girl.
Really?
Everybody starts smoking because of someone.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You never heard this story.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was like arty. And she smoked. I don't even, you know, I knew her for like 6 months. But, you know, I was... if you couldn't tell, I'm already like a horribly malformed person, but I knew nothing about girls and like anything. And this was well into college. And, you know, I would get these weird, like crushes and romantic fixations on people instead of like, you know, actually meeting girls. Cause I had no clue how to do that.
Do you know how many random crushes I had on random people in college?
Let me finish the story because it will explain to you why crushes are bad.
Well, I'm just saying you're acting like it's so weird for you to have a stranger crush.
Right, because I didn't actually date anyone. That was all I had. That was my understanding was, you know, if I become creepy around the right person, then it'll work.
I didn't date that many people in college either.
I dated nobody and like in high school and up until you're not going to win this one.
I'm just saying I only seriously dated probably two people during college and the rest of it was just pining after the crew team.
Yeah, but you still got laid.
I'm a girl.
Yeah. I know. I'm just saying, like, I was very lonely. That's the only point, is I was very lonely.
Here's an aside. This cocktail? Fabulous.
It
for
is
summer.
Fabulous, right? It's going right to my head, too.
Fabulous
for
summer.
You should have some soda. It's wonderful.
Much better than the Muddle Manhattan.
It was much better. By the way, yeah, that's... Anyhow, my point being, so it was, like, the first week of school. So we're in the bar, and she was, you know, she charmed me, and she was smoking a cigarette. I'm like, hey. She said, I'm a social smoker. And this was a term I had never heard before. And I was like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be a social smoker. And I was apparently very social over the next 10 years because I smoked like a chimney for about 10 years. And I no longer do.
See, I personally, and you know this about me, I keep a pack of emergency cigarettes in my car at all times. For those particularly stressful moments.
I wish I could do that.
My grandmother recently has been ill. Let's see, my There's other family members that are ill. I'm in a stressful situation, stressful job, and my childhood cat decided to die, and I was moving, and my car broke down, all in the space, mind you, of about a week.
That was a rough couple of days.
It was a rough couple of days for me, and so you know what? I smoked my emergency cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could do that, man. If I smoked emergency cigarettes, there would be a lot of fucking emergencies.
Boy, you know, convinced me that he loved me and wanted me, and then said, oh, wait, I'm still hung up on my ex-girlfriend. Smoke some emergency cigarettes.
Wait, I don't know that story.
Yes, you do.
That's not a good story. Oh, that story. Yeah. No, that was the whole thing. Oh, poor girl.
Oh, fuck him. Anyway.
Well, not anymore. My point is, I have no control when it comes to cigarettes. I could not smoke an emergency cigarette.
My point is that I do think I'm a social smoker in the sense that if someone says, do you want a cigarette? I'm going to be like, okay, and then smoke a cigarette.
But you have way more control than I do. You pay your bills. You work very hard. You know, you're like a conscientious person. You are the part, like, you know, seriously, folks, this Kate works very hard, and I am, you know, a leech on society. And that's why we taste delicious together. Like this cocktail. I don't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that lime juice would be this good with, well, I mean.
Well, it's sweetened lime juice. It's made to go in cocktails.
Yeah, I know, but it just seems like such an odd thing because it's just lime juice and booze. That's it.
I'm not going to lie to you. This beverage is wonderful.
This is a very lovely cocktail.
This is the model for future cocktail. Oh, wow. This is a delicious
See, because last week.
Yeah, I think could barely drink it.
We could barely drink it, and now we're just getting progressively more and more.
Saucy
as it goes on.
Which is, I think, the idea. No, I can't do olives, that's all.
Yeah. Josh, did anything bother you this week that you want to talk about?
That was the most ham-fisted segue in the history
Shut
of segues.
you're you know what the most ham-fisted segue in the history of segues
What's
was?
That?
When the segue guy segued off a cliff.
Poor guy. At least I get that.
He died rich.
You don't rot any slower.
Have we talked about, I read this today, the guy who, he's on Storm Chasers on the Discovery Channel.
No.
And he and like his brother and his nephew died in a tornado.
Yeah. It's like Steve Irwin. It's not like, you know, you could see that shit coming. It's not, you know, I feel bad for Bindi, but, you know, it's not like anybody didn't know that shit was coming. So, the pork. Well, you ate some cheese today, right?
I did
so
eat
it's the same
cheese
sort of,
today.
This is the same sort of phenomenon. Kate and I both have things we can't eat. Kate is extraordinarily lactose intolerant. I am moderately lactose intolerant, becoming more so.
I wouldn't say extraordinarily just because I can eat yogurt randomly and be okay with it, but everything else, like...
By the way, if you're one of these people who's like, lactose intolerant, you need to man up, the caveman didn't... You're wrong, okay? I used to be one of those people, like, I totally used to be one of those people who's like, lactose intolerant, they're just a bunch of pussies who can't eat cheese. No. It's
great.
Very real.
Most of the human population, like,
right.
Upwards of, like, 60-70% of people can't
right.
eat dairy products.
Well,
they can,
you know the story,
but...
Like, you know the story on that, right, is that we originally domesticated cattle, they think now, for blood food. There's like the whatever
because,
like the Dinka over in Sudan, like they have cattle and they use them as currency, not because you know, if you're eating it, you can't really use it as currency because you don't eat your dollar bills. It's blood food. They pierce the neck and they drink the blood for sustenance.
Well, there's that also, but it is interesting because cattle-based societies.
Mm-hmm.
People who are around cattle.
We have got, this is like serious Jared Diamond territory now.
They are less lactose intolerant than anybody else.
/ Sid Meier.
80-90% of people in Asian countries are lactose intolerant.
Right. Well,
people
they,
in
yeah,
Europe.
They're all vegetarians and they don't even have a like, you know.
Yeah, well, so we're both lactose intolerant. Funny story, my own father cannot remember for the life of him that I'm lactose intolerant. My father routinely will get me ice cream. One time he asked me if I wanted a cup of tea, and I said yes. He brought it to me with milk.
Why would you that's just being a dick.
He's not.
You're not noticing. You know, you still think of, you know what he is? He's picturing you as a little baby just, like, sucking milk away at the teat.
Please don't say that. My parents are divorced.
Yeah, but you were breastfed, right?
I have no idea, actually. I assume so.
Really? You don't know whether you're breastfed?
Yeah, I also don't know my own blood type.
Like, what if you're in a wreck?
I assume
okay,
that they
see,
would...
See, this is territory where you and I are just completely different.
I don't know. I know it's either A or O positive.
You terror of being in a wreck sometime?
Oh, of course. But I'm just saying, I dream about car wrecks all the time. Mm. All the time.
Right. You're doing, causing them, usually.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I do. I have this...
You drive like a maniac, right? You know that.
I do?
You're a little aggressive. I recognize I'm a very conservative driver. You're a little aggressive.
I don't think so.
You speed a lot.
I go 5 over.
You go 9 over and call it 5. So we live in Central North Carolina. Aaron, have you ever been to North Carolina? Or have you heard anything about North Carolina? We like our barbecue. And by the way, here, North Carolina, barbecue means. It's a very specific thing.
Right,
it's
it is.
Shredded pulled pork.
Yeah.
Okay. You can differ about what the sauce
is. In various sauces, yeah.
Right. But it's shredded pulled pork. And I love it. It's a delicious, it's wonderful. And people get very serious about it, but it's kind of childish. You know, it's like sports teams. Like, people just put a lot of energy into it. You know.
Ultimately, it all tastes wonderful.
Right. I recently discovered that I just can't eat the stuff. Like, I get just violently, depressingly ill when I eat it. And this is not like some sort of... I am not a delicate flower when it comes to food. Kate recently, this is maybe 2 months ago, encountered me, what was it, like 2 a.m, 3 a.m?
Something like that,
after
yeah.
I had had some pulled pork. Paint a word picture, if you will.
I was sleeping, and I woke up hearing sobbing noises coming from another part of the apartment with a door closed, and I walked over to the apartment, and I knew it was Josh, obviously.
Because I'm really the only crier in the household.
Well, no, because you're a man and you have a different voice, I mean, than anybody else.
It's not that manly.
The point was, he's sobbing and moaning, and I knock on the door, and I'm like, Josh, honey, are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine. And then I was like, are you sure? And he's like, it's just the pork.
Right.
And then I went back to bed.
Right. Yeah. So...
Because I'm a heartless gutter snipe.
You are. Well, you're not a gutter, so you're a classy broad.
By the way, we're on round 2 of the Gimlet.
Yeah, you couldn't tell. And I haven't even gotten anywhere on my little checklist of things to talk about. I've had kidney stones, by the way, folks. So my pain threshold is very high. I've had kidney stones, what, like?
I don't think I'm aware. How do you start a kidney stone? Like, does it just start as a dull ache and then becomes a horrible pain?
Kate, when a piece of detritus and another piece of detritus love each other very much.
Yes. Well, my point is, does it start as like a dull ache?
Oh, how does it? It's,
to you, like, does it start as like just a kind of mild backache in your kidney
region? If you're a stone person, you'll start feeling like you'll get these pangs now and then anyway. So you'll recognize that sensation once you've had it. It's like, you know. But then,
and then it just increases.
Right. But then once it becomes serious, like, it is enough pain to wake you up in the middle of the night. I mean, it starts as a very acute pain. The first time I had it, I thought the only thing I could compare it to was like intensely horrible gas, but and it just won't go away. And nothing you do, like, you'll try and shift around and nothing. And then this will be the killer. And again, please listen to our podcast again, because I'm going to describe horrible
things. Have I mentioned
symptoms.
That I have a wart on my foot?
Right.
Sorry.
And she has an extra foot that is nothing but wart. Like,
that's
that
what we
bad.
Were coming around to. Sorry. The booze in the gimlet has been getting us off track.
The intestinal distress brought about by the shredded pork is, outside of my kidney stones, the worst pain that I've ever felt. And yet...
he keeps eating it.
I keep eating pork. It's like Homer Simpson in that damn sandwich.
That was thinking...
I want to be alone with the pork, Mark.
I was thinking about the sandwich earlier this week.
And I'm a cook, and I love cooking. You know, Kate will back you up. I'm a good cook.
He is.
But I made pork chops last week. I made pork chops with sriracha on them. And it did not occur to me that this might, in fact, lead to distress.
I thought it's shredded pork that gets you.
No. Basically, I'm an old man. This is what we're getting to. Kate, you're going to be old one day. I don't want you to be old. Because, God, you know, I love you. You're cute and you're young. And I don't want you to get old, but it's going to happen. You're going to age. And as you get older, there's going to be things you can't eat. And you're going to hate it. Because you're going to sound like old people. You know, when old people... it's like, old people are young. It's not like they want to be assholes. You know. Nobody becomes old and, like, suddenly decides to be an old asshole and bitch about things.
I understand that, but at the same time, I don't eat ice cream. I don't eat milkshakes.
Ice cream is really bad for the lactose.
It's like every time I eat this combination of food, it makes me upset. So I'm not going to eat anymore. Like every time I eat onion rings, I get a migraine. So I'm just going to think that onion rings are probably off. Doesn't matter whether it's onion or ring.
Does rain do it? Rain causes it for a lot of people.
Yeah, rain is my main trigger.
Really?
Yeah. So every time it rains, I'll wake up and hear it.
There's
and be
a
like,
nor'easter a brewing?
Yeah, basically. No, and that's another way I can tell that it's going to rain is if my head starts going off and I'm like, oh,
your knee starts to hurt.
There's a storm coming.
The cows sit down in the field.
No, like literally.
We're incredibly smart creatures, but we're really, really bad at connecting proximate cause and effect on things like that. You know, no, seriously, like I must have eaten that pork 10 times before I was like, ah, pork. Same thing with eggs. Can't eat eggs. There will be an age, by the way. You will hit it. It's going to be about 32. When you will walk into a supermarket and you will look at Us Weekly and you will look at people and you'll look at everything else and you will not recognize a single person. And then you will stab yourself in the eye.
I'm already halfway there because there's a lot of people in Us Weekly that I'm like, who are you and why are you famous? Like the only reason I know them is because they're famous for being in Us Weekly.
Like this is how sad I am. This is how sad I am. I subscribed to Entertainment Weekly. Because I felt like I needed, like, it was the only thing I even knew to latch on to.
Like, I'm still not sure why Emma Roberts is famous.
Who the hell is that?
I think it's like,
oh, wait, is she like one of the, is she Eric Roberts' daughter?
I think so.
Yeah, she is.
But I'm like, why is she famous? Like, there was another one, like, Lake Bell got married recently, and I was like, who is this person?
Is that
I
a geographic no feature?
And then I look it up, and I'm like, okay.
And also, by the way, they all end up being someone's child.
But, you know, it's like, why
like
is she?
Like Rashida Jones, God love her, wonderfully talented, incredibly attractive woman. But, you know, hit the lottery both in terms of genes and in terms of, you know, having two parents who were in
the business. Then for every Rashida Jones who's actually talented and wonderful, and I love her, you get a Maxwell, who's just the son of Barry Gordy, and reports.
Yeah, you know what? He's coasting. It's not like he's not in Ibiza.
Somebody's watching me.
It's not like he's not sitting in Ibiza drinking. By the way, I love saying Ibiza. Drinking cocktails.
I see all these stories of celebrity parents with their kids going to the park or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, and I'm thinking like, wow, being a parent is wonderful. And then I think,
it's
not.
Parks have like armed guards where they shoot normal people who come within 100
Let me
yards.
Finish. I'm like, wow, being a parent must be wonderful. It's this life-fulfilling experience. And I think, oh, wait, these people are so rich that they have so many.
It's a hobby. Like
they can devote time to their children.
Plastic Woolworth guitar that you got when you were 11. That's what being a parent is to a celebrity. Like they can decide it's not their thing. And, you know, you know, put the kid in a closet, you know, underneath like the extra towels and, you know, your rock tumbler. I think you have the best of all worlds because you have like, they're like pets, you have like tourism kids.
It's like
a nanny.
I guess
one day a week you get to like show up. It's like Meals on Wheels.
And they
love
me
because
we get to, because we color.
Have to lance the boil, you know. You don't have to like grind.
Because sometimes they do things that make you really uncomfortable. Like,
Well, basically everything children do makes me uncomfortable.
Well, for me in particular, I've had problems with the kids sometimes just based on really weird things. And then every once in a while, the older kid will say something extremely wise and observant, being like...
Yeah, they're just getting lucky.
It strikes me as weird.
Phenomenon.
And then they say things that are extremely awkward. Extremely awkward. Instead of extremely awkward. I had a conversation with the oldest one today about why I say envelope instead of envelope.
Why do you pretentious shit?
I don't know. She goes, what did you just say? And I was like, envelope? Because I was making her an envelope for her brother's birthday to put her little card
my
in.
My ex used to say helicopter.
Except I don't think that's an actual pronunciation of the word
yeah,
helicopter.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it was. It wasn't an affectation. God love her. She's a wonderful person. Not an affected bone
right.
in her
well,
body.
The point is that I just said it without thinking it. And she's like, why did you say it that way? It's envelope instead of envelope instead of envelope. Kids say really observant things sometimes that just catch you off guard. More things that just kind of disturb you in general. And you're not sure. Like, they're just so... blatantly honest. For instance, one time I was wearing I'm fond of V-neck shirts.
Mommy, you have cancer.
Yeah, well, one time I was I'm fond of V-neck shirt, and all of a sudden the one who was 5 at the time just looks at me and goes, "Are you wearing a bra?" And I was like, "Yes." And she says, "You're not wearing a bra." And I was like, "Yes, I am." And we argued about this for a while.
Yeah, what was he under the? This is my question. You know. asking a the kid is what, four?
She was five.
Five.
The time.
Asking a five-year-old to have a rudimentary understanding of physics is probably out of the question, but what was she laboring under the impression that a brassiere was employed for?
I think probably because she noticed that her mom has something weird under mm-hmm. her shirt that she does not. Like, I mean, just think about it. If you touch your mom and you're like, what is this weird, like, strap thing that I can
feel? So she could have just said, you have a tattoo.
Well, I think her mom probably, you know, she was like, hey, what is that? And her mom was like, it's a bra.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You know, like, I mean, just think about it.
Yeah, I think I didn't know what bras were for the longest time either.
So she says, why aren't you wearing a bra? And I was like, I am. And it got to the point where I felt, like, the need to show her, like, be like, I am wearing a bra. And, like, flash
and then
her
she was
my
like,
shoulder.
Why aren't you using birth control? And then you're like, way out of bounds, kid.
No, and so it got to the point where I was like, she said, why aren't you wearing a bra? And I was like, I am. And we had this whole conversation. And then I was like, did this five-year-old just slut-shame me? Like, for not, for having too low of a shirt? Like,
you know, I don't think it was slut-shaming. I mean, I think that, you know, it's funny. But
I mean, I think it's genuine child curiosity.
Yeah, and I think if
curiosity.
Anything, it points to, you know, I think it points to being more honest with kids.
Actually, one of them asked me the other day about why.
Goodness. By the way, Gimlet. Woo.
This is a lovely cocktail. Hats off to you, Betty Draper.
Although, by the way, with their changing hair and a couple of times in the past, I haven't watched. By the way, when we're done with these
Mad Men season,
we're going to be watching this week's Mad Men.
This is some Mad Men, like, season two spoilers, but you know when Betty, like, has sex with that guy in the bar?
That was, like, season four, wasn't it? Like, on the train.
Mm-mm.
It's, like, all wood-paneled, and the
guy's, yeah, but
it's like
an actual bar. Like, the guy comes
by
up to her.
My understanding, anytime I talk about Mad Men, just for future reference when we talk about Mad Men, my understanding of the chronology of events is colored by the fact that I am generally soused. 6 days from Sunday when I watch Mad Men.
You are.
So my understanding of the sequence in which things happen is not necessarily terribly clear. Like, as far as I'm concerned, Sally could be aging backward like Mirth, like Mark and Mindy, and I wouldn't know.
Okay, so one of them asked me one time why men can take their shirts off outside and girls can't.
And you're like, some shouldn't, really, men.
No, I said we had a very candid conversation. She asked me why girls can't wear their shirts outside, and I looked at her and I was like, well, honey, there's a couple schools of thought on the matter. Mm-hmm. One is that it's general patriarchy that's holding mm-hmm. us down, and another would suggest...
That's my favorite Clue character, by the way.
General patriarchy. Yeah. Another would suggest that that's just gender norms that mm-hmm. don't play in our favor, and she was okay, and then like went back to playing blocks.
I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm kind of happy people don't have their schlongs hanging out, so...
Female chest is not normalized society.
Right. Yeah, in our town, nobody's going to get arrested for having their boobs hanging out. Anyhow, it looks like we're running a little long. I'm going to cut us off here, and we'll take up with the rest of the podcast that we recorded next week for Gimlet Part 2. For Kate, I'm your host, Josh. This has been Prefer Not To, the first episode of our Gimlet cast. Visit us on Twitter at PNTcast. Visit our website at pntcast.wordpress.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Write us a review and say whatever you like there. And we look forward to spending some time with you again next week with the rest of our Gimlet cast and possibly our Martini cast. Thanks.